Welcome to Untold Stories, a production of the Florida Theater and WJCT Public Media. Tonight's program was recorded May 30th, 2024. The theme, spring.
We're going to start with someone that I would always see. You know, you go out and there's people you see and you just like want to talk to them and you know that they want to talk to you and you're kind of like, you should do an untold, yeah, okay, and that like you do that for 2 years? Well, we finally connected, and his name is Adam Madrid. I guess none of you know him. And I'm not telling you anything about him because he's going to be telling you his journey, and I think that's important to start at the beginning. And in fact, the next two storytellers are people that it's really important that we know their journeys to know like where they are, what happened to them, where did this stuff come from. So I'm really excited to bring out Adam Madrid.
Soy un hombre tan sincero que me gusta lo mejor. Las mujeres no me faltan, ni el dinero ni el amor. Ay, 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 meu amor. Ay, mi morena de mi corazón.
¡Olé!
So it's spring, 2001. And I remember getting off my shift at Sweet Tomatoes. It was a restaurant here, and rest in peace, Sweet Tomatoes. I remember driving up to my home and coming in, and the kitchen, I'm living with my parents and my sister, and the kitchen has a stack of mail. So I go there, and I'm looking at it, and I see this letter that I've been looking forward to. I've been anticipating this letter, and it's saying Florida State University. I'm just looking at it, I'm just like, oh, God, I'm so nervous, anxious, I'm excited at the same time, and I'm just looking at it, I'm like, this letter is going to change my life. Let me take you back a little bit really quick. So I was a little kid, my mom would tell me stories about my grandfather, my abuelito, and she would tell me stories like, you know, he would grab you, when he saw you the first time, he grabbed you in his arms, and he was just like, this is the one that's going to change things. He's going to make an impact in this world. And she said that he would like lift me up in the sky like I was Simba or something. Like I was like, what? And he's like, that chicón, you know, the one. He's going to change everything. And I was like, okay, mom, it's cool. Can I go to the playground with my friends now? This is like a lot of information to take in, you know, so as a kid. So a couple weeks later, we go on a trip, a family trip. It's to Mexico City. And a lot of my family are there. My abuelito, my cousins, everyone. And so I remember seeing him. He gives me a hug, and he tells me, hey, tomorrow I'm going to take you to the movies. And I was like, okay, cool, awesome. So we go, and I just remember it's Mexico City, so it's very vibrant. It's a big cinema. It's amazing looking. We go there, and I see a big banner, and it's Batman. And I'm just like, oh, we're going to go see Batman, the original Batman. You know, the one with Michael Keaton. The best Batman, you know, with Michael Keaton. So I remember sitting in the theater, and I'm looking at the screen, and I see in the corner of my abuelito looking at the screen, and I know he, from what I was told, he's a big movie buff. He loves to read a lot too, but he loves the movie experience. And for me, watching that, seeing him take it all in, it was like, oh, that's really cool. So then I start watching it. Then also in the corner of my eye, I see him kind of looking down too, to making sure I'm enjoying the experience, because you know he wants to make sure that, you know, this is an opportunity to be with my grandson. You know, so take the best of it, make the best of it. So we go afterwards. He's like, hey, do you want to go for ice cream? I was like, what? Some movies and an ice cream? Oh, let's go. Yes, absolutely. So I remember having some ice cream, and then he would just tell me stories, and he said, you know, when you were little, I told your mom when I had you in my arms that you were the one and you're going to make a difference, and I'm just eating my ice cream like, this story again? I'm like, what? I was like, okay. I was like, and all my thinking in my head is like, oh my God, please tell me you're not telling my cousins this. Because the last thing we need is my cousins being like, hey, everyone, look, it's the one. You know, just like, I mean, I get enough flack over it as it is with my sister. So, again, I don't want to hear from my cousins. That's just big trouble. So I go back, and I'm thinking about all that, you know, I'm hearing, and I have this letter in my hand. And, I mean, you know, I'm getting in my head what he's telling me and saying, you know, you're going to make a difference. And I feel like this is it. But as I'm about to open this letter, I can't open it by myself. So I had to think of someone I wanted to, you know, be with and open this with. And the person I thought was my girlfriend, Monique. And And at the time, like she wasn't always my girlfriend. So like we were cool in high school. We went to Forest High School, which is Westside High, you know, now. But, she was a cool friend. Like, I mean, we had mutual friends. We were hanging out. We always like enjoy each other's company. And I was just really enjoying, being and hanging out with her. So I remember, I would always ask her for, advice on, girls and stuff. Because it's my senior year. Like, I'm not looking to settle down. I mean, come on. I'm a good kid, too. Right, Mom? I'm a good kid. So but I remember telling Monique, and I was like, hey, help me with your friend here. Help me with your friend here. And I got some advice from her. And during this time I'm talking to Monique, I start getting feelings. And I'm just like, no. I was like, there's no way I can't have this on my senior year, man. That's supposed to, we're supposed to be going crazy, right? Senior year. But I just remember having these feelings. I'm like, no, I can't let this interfere with our friendship. So it's my birthday. She gives me a birthday gift. I pull it out. And at the time, I'm a big R&B fan. I'm still an R&B fan. But, I was listening to Drew Hill. And I was listening. I mean, there was a lot of great R&B artists that came out during that time. And I remember it was a CD. And it was at the time, it was Brian McKnight. I was a big Brian McKnight fan. And I remember listening to the song from beginning to end of that CD. But there was this one song in particular that really just resonated with me. And it was the name of the album. It was called Back at One. And if you all don't know how it goes something like, one, you're like a dream come true. Two, just wanna be with you. Three, girl, it's plain to see that you're the only one from me. And something like that. I don't know, I don't know the exact words, but it's something like that. So I remember I was like, wow, it's just like, I really have to pursue this. Like, I mean, I'm having feelings for her, right? So I went ahead and I asked her out, and to this day, I still have feelings for her. So I'm back at this letter. I'm really nervous. I'm just like, oh God, here it go. I'm opening this letter, she's with me, and right before I'm about to open up, she stops me and she goes, Adam, whatever happens, it's gonna be okay. And I was like, all right, cool. Thank you, appreciate it. So I'll get the letter, and it says, Dear Adam Madrid, thank you for your interest in the motion picture, television, and recording arts. The committee reviewed your application, and unfortunately, we regret to inform you that you did not make FSU Film School. Sincerely, FSU Film. And when I saw this, I couldn't, imagine not doing anything else, because for me, I always wanted to be a filmmaker. I've always wanted to make movies. This is my opportunity to learn about making movies. I felt this was my time, and I just felt like everybody down. Like, I let my buddies, Josh, Jeremiah, and Mike, we made a lot of films together, before that, it was like, we talked about making movies. We were in Chimney Lakes Elementary School, we're growing up, we're like, we're gonna make movies together, we can't wait. I felt like I let them down. I let my parents down. I felt like my mom, she wanted to see me graduate, from college. And I just felt like I left her down. I let my girlfriend, Monique, down. I just felt like I let everyone down, my sister included. I was like, everyone just depended on me, but also my abuelito. I felt like he told me that I was supposed to change things. I was supposed to make a difference, and I blew it. And for the next couple weeks, I just kept thinking, I guess I'll just work at Sweet Tomatoes or a restaurant business for the rest of my life. And I love restaurant business, but that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted this passion. So, I remember applying for a couple of things. Not applying, actually, I looked at UCLA and NYC, but it's a lot of money. And then I remember Full Sail in Orlando has a film program, but it's also $30,000, and I don't have $30,000. But I do remember asking my parents and my sister to come with me on a tour and check out the facility, check out the campus. So we go there. I remember the tour guide was like, letting us know, hey, if you graduate from here, you have that experience, and you're on your own now. And I was like, okay. But while I was looking at that, I looked at the cameras they were using and the equipment they were using and the editing software. I was like, well, I don't have $30,000, but I can probably, if I buy these things, I can teach myself. So I end up doing this thing, opening up a credit card with a 0% interest rate. It was so great, right? This is like, I'll pay it off later, right? So I end up, it was about $10,000. I got all the stuff. And I was starting to teach myself. Now, this was a long road because I didn't know everything. I didn't know what I was doing. It was until 2007, and my buddy Jeremiah reached out and said, hey, they're doing this film competition. It's an international film competition coming to Jacksonville. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And he goes, yeah, it's called the 40-Hour Film Project. I'm like, what? So I was like, what is that? And he goes, it's a film competition where filmmakers have 40 hours to make a movie, and they don't know what they're filming until that kickoff. So you're given a genre, a character, a prop, and line, and you got 40 hours to make it. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I'm in. Let's do this. So we do it. We make our first film, our first ever film. We're so excited. We have friends and family involved, and we have it shown on a big screen here in Jacksonville. And it was a great moment for all of us because we just looked at each other and said, we did it. We made a movie, right? And I remember watching it and thinking, my God, this is horrible. This is a terrible film. It's a horrible film. Please do not look on YouTube for Soul Possession at all. It's very bad. I don't want you to please look that up at all. I just remember watching it, though, and we were really excited. And I remember watching another film that won that year. It was called Easter Bunny Superhero. And yeah, and it was a movie that was done. It was written by Sharon Cobb. It started Bobby Parker, a stand-up comedian here. And the movie was just great. It just looked good. It was just like, wow, they did this in 48 hours? I wanted to gain that knowledge. I wanted to know, like, how did they do that? So with me, I was able to network with the filmmakers. And then also, every year we competed in this competition to get better. And that's what we did. We took the judges' feedback. We took the audience feedback. We were just getting better at our craft. It didn't happen until 2014. We were right here in Florida Theater. And I remember sitting in row M. It was me, Monique, our friends and family, everybody was there. And we made this movie called No Laughing Matter. And it was done by, we created a film company called Argyle Forest Films. That's where we're from. And I just remember we watched that movie and it just seemed like everything was right. You know, it was literally about a movie about a clown who loses his job at the circus, and he gets fired, and he has to pay off his clown tuition. And in order to do that, he's just a clown going to odd jobs as the clown. And so, like, for us, it was just a great movie. We just came up with it, and when it happened, we started hearing the nominations, and we started hearing the wins: best directing, best editing, best writing, Argyle Forest Films, No Laughing Matter, and all this was just happening. I was like, oh, this is insane. Like, what is going on, right? And it just felt surreal because from 2007 to 2014, we're at this moment now where we're getting recognized for our work. And then it was coming for Best Film. And for us, it was a moment that I just remember holding on to Monique's hand and thinking to myself, God, there was a time in the Oscar race where it was Saving Private Ryan that year where it was winning everything. It was killing all the competition, right? It was just like Saving Private Ryan was the film of the year. And then when they announced Best Film, the Oscars, it went to Shakespeare in Love. And I just remember, I was like, how is that possible? Like, wait, Saving Private Ryan was the film. And so for me, I was thinking, yeah, this is probably what's gonna happen. Like, you know, we're winning all these awards, and I was gonna be okay. I looked at Monique and I said, whatever happens, we're gonna be okay, right? This is gonna be fine, because we had a great night tonight. Everybody was involved. So we did it, and then we stood there and we heard the words. The Jacksonville 40-Hour Film Project 2014 winner is No Laughing Matter, Argyle Forest Films. I just remember, like, oh, we did it! Like, oh my gosh! I rushed on the stage here. I'm on this stage literally 10 years ago to the day here, right there from row M to the stage. I'm right here. I'm thanking everyone. I'm so honored because it's like, you don't understand the journey that I got to that point to here. And thinking about, maybe it wasn't the letter the whole time. Maybe it was this moment that's going to change everything. And I remember thanking everyone. But also, I just remember looking at the spotlight right here, and just looking at it and saying, gracias, abuelito. You know, because I just felt like he was there. You know, he was looking at me, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm taking it all in. And all this is happening. And the success starts happening. And the recognition starts happening over a win. I get hired by the Jacksonville Jaguars with doing Game Day Crew, which I'm just like huge fan of the Jaguars. PRI Productions, I'm working with them as an event, you know, editor and videographer, and so like all this stuff starts happening, and it's just like, but I knew the winning city of each Filmapalooza, city at 40-Hour Film Project goes on to Filmapalooza, so they represent your city around the world. So this one was going to be in Hollywood, and we had our film, No Laughing Matter, shown on the Chinese theater on the big screen, and I remember going there and seeing the red carpet, the step and repeat, getting an award, getting, you know, just recognition, networking. I was like, I want this in Jacksonville. Like, I want this for in Jacksonville for local filmmakers. Like, that was my thing. And I was like, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I want that to happen. So we come back, and a couple years go by, and I remember we're sitting at Sunrise Cinema, me and Monique, and we're there for this Jacksonville Short Film Showcase. And it's highlighting local filmmakers here, and I remember she whispers in my ear. She goes, hey, little mama, how you doing? Let me whisper in your ear. I was like, whoa, girl. We had Sunray. The light's about to go out soon. No, she goes, hey, you ever think about, like, doing a comedy film festival here in Jacksonville? You know, that just, like, celebrates local filmmakers and, like, local stand-up comedians and local musical acts. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. Sounds like a lot of work. And it's like, it's just like, listen, so I think about it. I remember that night we're watching a movie. It's from Marshall Malone. He did a movie called Jesse Higgins and His Inner Demons. And it's a mockumentary. Everyone's laughing. It's a sold out crowd. Everyone's just having a great time with this film. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Maybe we could do something like that here, right? So that night, LOL Jacks Film Festival was born. So LOL Jacks means love our locals while laughing out loud. And that first year was a huge success. Again, we just thought of, like, let's just embrace the local film community and give them their moment, give them their time to shine, because they deserve to be recognized. And we do it, and it's a great success. We go on the next year, and then we hear the city producer of the Jacksonville 40-Hour Film Project is now stepping down, and people are looking at us to run it. And I'm just like, ooh, no, man, you know, that sounds like a lot of work, man. I'm just like, I don't know if I want to do all that. You know, we're already doing the LOL Jacks Film Festival. But people are just saying, no, you gotta do it. Like, you guys are just, you know, creating some cool events here. And I'm just like, all right, well, it wasn't until my call from my buddies Josh, Jeremiah, and Mike with my Argonne Forest film crew, and they were like, hey, Adam, did you see this? You should go for it. And I'm thinking to myself, but if I do this, we can't make movies anymore for this competition. And, you know, I really look forward to this every year. You know, this is the time where me and my buddies get to hang out. You know, we talked about this as kids in elementary school and talking about, like, hey, we can make some movies. But they said, no, we did this. We won it. We came, we conquered. We came and we just decided, you know what? This is maybe the opportunity to do this. So we apply, and me and Monique then become now the city producers for the Jacksonville 40-Hour Film Project. Thank you. And this right here was the moment where I was like, all right, let's do this. Let's do it right, because let's give these filmmakers, like what we're doing with LOL Jacks Film Festival, but to another level, because this one, you get internationally recognized. So let's take it up a notch. We're doing this. We're making things happen. With this success, a lot of things start happening. I make my first feature film here in Jacksonville called Let Me Be Corey, which will be dropping this year. So, yeah, and all this stuff starts happening, right? Everything's just like, oh, wow, this is it's just surreal. And with everything, all this success that we've been trying to build up for, I get a call from the city of Jacksonville in March of this year. And I'm thinking about March of 2001, where I'm like, I held a letter in my hand saying I wasn't accepted into FSU Film School, to now getting a call from the city of Jacksonville and Todd Rubin, the film commissioner, saying, we looked at what you are doing with the city. We look at the impact that you're making here, and we want to hire you and bring you on as the first ever film production coordinator for the city of Jacksonville Film and Television Office. So I'm just like, oh my God, like this is crazy, right? This is insane. But I was like, this is the opportunity to take this platform now and do something great in the city, and do something to embrace the filmmaking community here that needs to show that love. You know, there's artists out here that are, you know, deserving that recognition, artists that are leaving to go to LA, New York, and Atlanta. And, you know, I want to retain the artists here. I want to do that. I want to give them their love and show them their appreciation and do what I can, because now I get to be in charge of helping out with marketing and bringing other film production companies from all the U.S. and around the world to Jacksonville, because now we're going to roll out some new plans, new incentives, new filmmaking grants, just to show that we are serious about filmmaking here in Jacksonville. So I'm really excited about that. And this is it. This is where I feel like this is where everything that I was hearing about was coming to fruition. It was planting the seeds to grow and to see what the city can do and see the city can behold. So again, I'm not here without my buddies, Josh and Jeremiah and Mike. I'm not here without my then girlfriend, now wife, that I still have feelings for, Monique. I'm not here without my parents, my mom that believed in, my sister that just gets on me all the time. But she, like I said, she really pushes me to become this person I am. But really, you know, I think of all the stumbles, I think of all the falls, I think of everything. I think of the spoken artist here, this legend in Jacksonville called Odd Rod, that says our losses carry wins. And every time that you fall, every time you think you're losing life and you think that this is it, you keep getting back up and you keep moving forward, because you're going to have people that are going to be against you. You're going to have people that are going to tell you you're not good enough. You're going to have people that are going to try to take your brand and ruin your reputation. You let them, and you take that and say, bring it, because I'm not done yet. So let's go. Thank you. Thank you, Jacksonville. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, gracias, abuelito. Gracias para todo. Buenas noches.
Untold Stories is a production of the Historic Florida Theater in partnership with WJCT Public Media. Barbara Colicello is the artistic director. Numa Saislin is the president of the Florida Theater. Jeremy Moore and Eric Stanfield recorded the live performances of Untold Stories. The Untold Stories broadcast and podcast was produced by Brady Corum and Letitia Barriola. Saul Lucio is the technical director. The live performances of Untold Stories were made possible by a generous gift from the Wolfberg family.